This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Pam Fehr, who's the Deputy National Executive Director of the Screen Actors Guild. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Thank you.
I was trying to come up with a scene that where this issue is particularly pertinent, and I thought of the almost immortal shot in Streetcar Named Desire, where Marlon Brando is standing at the foot of the steps yelling Stella. And that, there's so much sex and violence in that one word that I figured that ought to be a prime candidate for bleeping out by any of these technologies. Is that the problem, that the artistic integrity of works are going to be destroyed by having them edited by people who aren't the director or even the executives at the studio?
Exactly. That's an example, but the examples are endless, and those who think that they're sanitizing a film may be very noble in their cause, but the end result is they're editing work that's been created by a team of creative artists and, of course, with the ultimate control by the copyright holder.
So now, where does SAG fit in with the litigation that's ongoing in this area?
Well, we have signed on to that litigation, and we're, as I said, opposed to any mechanism that edits the creative arts in a form of censorship. One of my fears is that, well, people want to create a product that they feel is family viewing.
Right.
You know, there's also the potential that someone could think that there's too many people of color, or, you know, something that is objectionable to them, so they in turn start to edit in that way, where we don't think of it when we think of the family setting that people want to make something quote-unquote, you know, child appropriate.
Are these laws and this technology suitable for, say, editing out socialist remarks or liberal remarks or for that matter, conservative remarks?
Exactly. That's the point. That's exactly the point, that as long as there is software created to do this, whether or not it's in the guise of being for home use, because as we know, and thank goodness for the anti-camcorder part of this legislation, nothing is for home use. It always has the potential of ending up in the internet or used in many ways completely unauthorized. And that is exactly the point, that anything, any point of view or any political view or perspective could be simply zapped out and changed or altered. And that's not what the creative team has in mind when they write, direct, and perform the project.
Do you have any general comments on the fact that camcorders have made piracy of movies easier, peer-to-peer networks have made pirating of existing copies easier, and modern digital technology has made possible the clear play system and the problem we're talking about here? Do you have some general feeling about whether technology has reached a point where it's causing more trouble than it's worth in the entertainment industry?
Well, you know, we don't have a problem with peer-to-peer file sharing and when people, you know, communicate in this way. It's the fact that they're using copyrighted material.
Right.
In no other spectrum could you use copyrighted material and just feel that they have the right to do so. So, no, the technology certainly is impinging on, in our world, the performer's ability to earn residuals and the money that's flows from the ancillary uses. It certainly impedes on that, and it's primarily the middle class working actor and the rest of the crafts men and women who are really taking it. They're losing money every time something is pirated, every time someone records something in a theater and it ends up bootlegged. That comes out of the share of profit that is split between the artistic team, and it's a direct you know, reduction in the money that goes in their pocket.
Is there a danger that this technology will be used to produce bolderized versions that will then be distributed and without remuneration to the actors who participated in them?
Well, it's as you said earlier, it's an attack on the integrity of the art, but it's also an attack on the dollars that flow from a product. We have the problem already in a movie's most pristine form that it's being bootlegged and the artists are being ripped off.
Right.
So now you have yet another version of it that has a potential for the same kind of misuse.
Yes.
Now,
I was curious about a point, and I checked it out when I looked at the law itself about whether this system applies to movies that exist on DVDs or whether it exists on movies that are transmitted over the internet or other networks into homes, and apparently it does. That these clear play filters can be developed to work for over on top of films that are streaming into the home over the internet.
My understanding is the same, that the software will edit the motion picture or television show in any form it starts out in.
It's digital. It doesn't care where it comes from. It recognizes the file. It's interesting because I'm about to do an interview in the next week or so with people from MovieLink, which is a consortium of the Hollywood studios that have just signed a deal with Verizon to allow for the delivery of their copyrighted films with proper protection and compensation over Verizon's broadband network. And presumably then this system will be usable against films transmitted that way as well.
Exactly. And of course we're partners with the copyright holders. We stand together as stakeholders in this and agree with that. But any time it's taken away from the copyright holder, then the money that flows from that copyright holder to the creative team is then compromised.
Okay. What can you say specifically about the litigation? Who's bringing it against whom, on what grounds?
I really don't.
Oh, you don't know about that?
No, I don't have all the details.
But the Screen Actors Guild is filed an amicus brief with the Directors Guild.
Yes, and as I said, we were in support of the bill that the president just signed because of the anti-camcorder element.
Right.
But we did certainly have a problem with this portion of it.
Well, how are you negotiating that sort of contradiction then? Are you supporting repeal of this part of the bill?
I'm not sure what our strategy is on that yet.
Okay.
Because the camcorder part of it was so critical to us, because that is such a gateway to this bootleg industry.
Right.
That we really we've gotten anti-camcorder laws in states all over the country, states that you wouldn't even think were worried about such theft, but they really have stepped up and taken precautionary steps where some places it's a felony, a gross misdemeanor, a misdemeanor, whatever.
Right.
So we're happy with the support we've gotten, but as far as the other side of it, I'm not really sure what we're going to do.
Okay. Why don't we just wrap up opening one more general area. To what extent do you feel that this is an effort by those groups or individuals who feel that Hollywood is corrupting the morals of the country to harass Hollywood and generally open another front in what really seems to be a widespread anti-Hollywood movement
right.
in a lot of parts of the country?
Well, and, you know, we're under attack on a lot of fronts in that area, and the FCC is a good example, but I think that it's very encouraging that the public, when they looked at media consolidation and the FCC's actions or lack of action, they were up in arms. And the FCC, as you know, is revisiting a lot of the media consolidation issues because they saw that the American public, who own the airwaves, were really upset that these conglomerates were going to own all the airwaves and perhaps broadcast the stories that were important to them. So I think that there is some public sympathy, but of course, at the end of the day, in the spectrum of the creative arts, people have a choice to either go to the movie that they think is appropriate or not.
Yes, could you comment on that?
It's a choice.
Could you comment on that? Why people who are objecting to content in films just don't look at the films?
Well, that's the question of the hour. You know, we all, responsible parents, you monitor what your children watch, what's age appropriate, what you feel is appropriate for them to watch. There are certain things that my children, you know, that I don't feel is the right thing for them to watch, but other things. But it's my choice. And that's the beauty of us owning the airwaves and having a voluntary choice to go to the movies.
I haven't seen the film myself, but I understand that The Passion of the Christ is incredibly violent. And I'm wondering whether there's some kind of self-implosion principle that's going to work, where conservatives who believe that sex and violence in films is violence in films in particular is bad, who then end up censoring themselves in a film that they're watching because they believe in
right.
the content. I wonder what happens then.
I think that would be an interesting question to pose to some of the people who believe in editing this other material, yet supported in great numbers.
Presumably, the software could be precision tuned to exempt graphic and brutal violence when it's made in a film by, say, Mel Gibson.
Right, and as I said before, you don't know what's next. You know, you can cut out anything that is objectionable to that particular person who has their finger on the editing button.
Right.
You know, they really could think, and I'm not suggesting that that's what they're doing, but they could really think that there are too many people of color or
women, for that matter.
Or people that are too young or too old or, you know, whatever, that they can completely homogenize a picture. And that's a frightening, frightening thing. I think we should all really think very seriously about that potential.
This is sort of outside of your rubric, but there are e-books. There are books that have been made digitized and put on the internet so they can be available. If this can be done for video, it can certainly be done even more easily for text. And books can be.
Oh, absolutely! And that's exactly when people try to censor books. You know, citizens are up in arms outside of libraries. But for some reason, when it's a creative art in this format, it's open season.
Because it could be.
We feel that our members render a performance, and that performance, unless the copyright holder is editing it for different distribution, it should remain intact.
It's the same feeling that an author has when writing a book, that's to say that they want it to go that way. And if someone comes along with something called ClearBook, for example, and does it, it's going to destroy their artistic integrity as well. What about the question of airline movies? There are apparently versions of movies that are edited for showing on airplanes.
And provided.
And how does that fit into this mix?
Those are done by the copyright holder. Those are licensed, and the airlines buy them, and our members derive a portion of the profit from that. But that's.
I understand there are negotiations underway to make those available to the public. Do you know anything about that?
That's a copyright holder's prerogative, though. Right. We're fine with that. It's just like something that's put up on peer-to-peer by the copyright holder. We don't have a problem with that. It's when it's altered by someone who just decides to do it.
Okay.
That's a very different way.
Just a final point.
I have to go, though.
Just a final point. Are there any moves afoot that you're aware of where actors are going to try to use some of their art to protect their art by producing or being involved in projects that would dramatize the danger and the damage that can be caused by this kind of censorship?
Not really this way. I mean, we certainly have talked about different types of things, but we're certainly working, educating students and young people as they come up through the educational system on the piracy, the impact of piracy, and this also plays into it to some extent. But we're really focusing on the piracy, so kids are responsible and realize that there's a really undesired consequence to the artist.
Maybe some dramatic. Some dramatized
PSAs
that support anti-piracy and also support the right of directors and actors to express themselves as
certainly
they see fit might be interesting.
Yeah, certainly worth thinking about.
All right, good. Well, thanks very much for talking to us today on California Politics Day, and good luck.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
You got my number, so you can call me.
I will.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.